Welcome back into Road Dog Live. This is hour three of the Friday free-for-all. Glad to be hanging out with you. And I'm coming to you from the 2025 Recruitment and Retention Event. We're at the Grand Hyatt this year in Nashville, Tennessee, and sitting down with Tim Norland of Rail Transport. Great to see you, Tim.
Always good to see you, KC.
I just saw you on the stage, man. There was a big hubbub going on because they just crowned the next recruiter of the year.
Right.
2025.
Right.
Pretty exciting. Yeah, you've been there.
I was, yeah. I was a recruiting professional of the year in 2019, which was awarded in February of 2020, right before the world changed.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
You think about it, over the past 5 years, everything has been different, hasn't it?
It really has been, yeah. Yeah.
So, one thing that's the same, though, is that everybody comes together each year and talks about recruiting and retention and what are drivers wanting and needing and how can companies meet those needs.
Right. And, you know, that's the neat thing about this event. You would think all the carriers that are here, we all have a tough job to do trying to convince drivers that we're where they need to go to work. Mm-hmm. And, people, you just heard it on stage, sharing, you know, what people should do, you know, these recruiting professionals sharing with the others, here's what you should do. This is how you should lead your recruiting department. This is what works. This is what drivers want. Mm-hmm. And knowing what drivers want. And it's always good. That's why, you know, 22nd annual, and I've been to 21 of the 22.
Right, right.
That's why I come back every year. I'm one of the older horses anymore, but
to pasture yet.
Not out to pasture yet. No, got a ways to go. But that's why I come here every year, is because there's so much that I can learn.
One of the things that was interesting, so I don't know if you know it, but each year on Road Dog Live, I interview drivers and I ask them, hey, what's important to you? I'm going to go to this event that's all about recruiting and retention. What do you think that recruiters need to hear from the driving community? And they fill up my sheet with all kinds of good ideas. And what they talked about a lot yesterday was what I'm hearing on the stage today from the recruiters. So I think that they're hearing the drivers loud and clear, and that really is encouraging that companies are getting it, that there's a home time issue, there is a transparency issue, there is an honesty and trust issue between carriers and drivers. So at Rail, I'm sure you have the same challenges that every carrier has. So when you approach your job, let's just talk about trust between company and driver. What are your thoughts on how you can instill trust in drivers?
Well, you know, that's something that I've worked hard to overcome, the drivers' perceptions of recruiters, and that recruiters will say whatever they need to get the driver in the door. Mm-hmm. And, I started early on in my career addressing that. And one thing that we do at Rail, a couple things we do. Number one, drivers receive a written offer letter. It is sent to them before they accept, and they can look it over and they can question it, but it has what fleet they're going to be on, when their home time is going to be, how frequent it will be, and what their pay rate is, mileage expectations, etc. It's all spelled out. But then we go a step farther in what we call an integrity checklist, and we go through, it's a line item by line item of facts and expectations for the driver, and our recruiter shares it with the driver. As the recruiter goes line item by line item, they initial it, that they talk to the driver about it. We then send that to the driver to look over, and the driver again initials and returns that to us, so that there's no hidden surprises for the driver. Well, that's not what my recruiter told me. We have it right there so that they know, you know, what the job entails.
Sure.
And that's been tremendously popular with the drivers, but it's been very successful for us too, because it's built that integrity in
Sure.
to our recruiting process. One thing that I do with our recruiters is I tell them I never want to hear a recruiter read from a script, right? And we know recruiters, you call, you're going to get a script. They don't even ask you what you're looking for. They just tell you what they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you imagine going into a restaurant and going, KC, you want a steak medium rare with onions and,
yes,
a side of Limburger cheese.
Yeah.
That's not what you want,
mm-hmm.
but that's what you're going to get. I ask our recruiters, please have a conversation with the driver.
Yes.
Get to know them. What's got you looking? You know, what's not working for you where you're at right now, and what can we do to improve your life and help you succeed and hit your goals. And we find that we have better engagement with the drivers, better connection, and actually better conversion of those driver applicants into hires.
Got you. Well, that's good to hear. And yeah. It seems as if that you, from the operations standpoint and the recruiting standpoint, have a unified or a team approach to getting potential hires to at least talk to you about what they need.
Yeah.
One of the things I heard this week was that many times the perception from drivers is that the recruiting department is like military recruiting, and that their goal is to fill the funnel as full as they can and then get as many people in the truck, and then if you have a problem with the relationship after you've taken the plunge, you got to deal with it with operations because recruitment and operations didn't talk beforehand.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you kind of are out in front of that.
We absolutely are. We meet, our recruiting team meets with the operations team every week. We go over fleets, miles, expectations. Mm-hmm. And we adjust that regularly. I mean, at least monthly, we're going in, we're updating driver wages. The new pay transparency laws are fantastic. We're for them because it's weeding out the carriers that say, earn $5,000 a week,
mm-hmm.
when nobody is going to make that. The average paycheck is $1,000, right?
Right.
So that's really going to have an effect. We've always been transparent in our pay. We advertise our pay ranges in our advertisements, and we will talk to drivers about that all day long. We're in a tough market right now.
Mm.
I would love to be able to tell a driver you're going to make $2,000 a week. We have drivers that do that. Chances are you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
At least not initially, not until the market improves a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. What is your outlook on the market coming into 2025? Is it going to take a couple of quarters? Are we looking at 2026 before things get to a level that maybe post COVID 2021, 2022 levels?
I don't know if we'll ever get back to that. That was just amazing, once in a lifetime surge.
What about pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID, we're there. We're
2019-ish.
We're seeing slow but steady growth in driver productivity, which is miles and earnings.
Right.
We think that will continue slowly throughout 2025, but a big upswing we really don't see until probably 26 or late 25, early 26.
Okay. Okay, because it's all over the board what people are saying. And I said, by June of 2025, it's going to be back to where we were. So
I heard that today from somebody.
There's a lot of hope out there. Well, yes. I think that it's not hope. It's almost desperation. It's
right.
Like we need the trucking industry. And I think with what happened in November and then the inauguration and a new regime coming in, it may have accelerated hope a bit. Because they think, this is going to be the savior and everything's going to turn on a dime. And I don't think trucking really turns that fast.
You know, the economy is like trying to turn a cargo ship around in the Tennessee River here. It's going to take a long time and a lot of maneuvering.
Yeah, that's a lot of back and forth.
That's right. Yeah.
Tim Norland is with us. He's the vice president of driver recruitment with Rail Transport. Did I get that right? VP of driver recruitment?
Driver employment.
Oh, employment.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
You were close.
I was close. I'd rather be close. That's I played right. A lot of horseshoes when I was a kid.
There you go.
So it's great to have you in town. And let's talk a little bit about what you guys are needing right now. I know Rail runs a lot of regional hauls.
Mm-hmm.
Is anything changing with your model and the different lanes you have available?
Obviously, the home weekly is what drivers are looking for. So we're trying to create more and more of that. We still have the traditional freight. So drivers that like to stay out a little bit longer can. Our over-the-road drivers, our irregular route drivers, they're home every 11 to 14 days. We definitely have a need for those. The regional drivers are home weekly. A lot of dedicated driver needs right now. Most of those are home weekly. Some are home daily, depending on where you live. We do have more and more home daily positions opening up. So that's great to see. I will say this, if you are a flatbed driver and you live in the Phoenix, Arizona area, we have a need, a big need. We've got some dedicated business out there, and we probably put 20 trucks on right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So Phoenix, flatbedders, you guys are needed. Come on and make a good paycheck.
Absolutely.
What you mentioned the dedicated, and
yeah.
Many times when we talk about different types of industry segments, the private fleet versus the for-hire fleet always comes up, and a good hybrid has been said that it's a dedicated fleet because you get that private fleet feel, but you're working in a for-hire capacity. Is that what you're seeing with your driver pool?
Yeah, yep, it is. And, you know, the nice thing about it, yes, we have a dedicated customer. They have dedicated freight needs, but their market moves too. The nice thing about being with a public fleet or, you know, a general motor carrier is when that customer's freight maybe drops a little bit, we have other business that we can fill in with, still has that dedicated feel, but maybe it's not always dedicated freight. Now, right now, it's all dedicated mm-hmm. freight for those particular customers.
Gotcha. I know a lot of folks are interested in hearing about the equipment that they would be getting into if they came and gave you a call. So talk a little bit about your fleet, what the equipment average age is, those types of details.
Mm-hmm. Our fleet is about 80% Freightliner, Cascadias. The new ones are rolling in.
Nice.
We've had some issues with some of the new trucks coming in with things that we couldn't put into service right away.
Oh,
until
really?
We got
yeah.
some things fixed.
Hey, coming from a dealership, I know all about that.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
You hate to hear it, but typically a dealership will work through that with you.
Absolutely,
and make it as seamless
do.
As possible.
Yeah. You know, we've got about 20% internationals, and drivers. You know, it's like anything. There's a core group that likes those trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, having two truck suppliers kind of keeps both honest, and we like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, you got
it. And
to.
It gives our drivers an option for variety.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Do you give drivers a choice of what they might want to get into, or do you have trucks dedicated to certain fleets?
You know, we'll certainly take their requests
mm-hmm.
and keep those in mind, but we can't always promise. It's what we have for an open truck. You know, we're a truck, a fleet of 2,000 trucks. We had 14 open trucks this morning.
Oh,
so
wow.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, that's a great problem to have.
Well, it is an absolutely great problem to have.
Yeah.
So
I can probably guess that not a lot of fleets have that few empty seats right now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's
so
very
it sounds
nice.
Like you're managing the assets well. When I was in trucking operations, it was not uncommon to have 25 trucks. We were about 125 truck fleet,
mm-hmm.
and to have like 20% of them open,
right.
That was a lot of times hard to fill all those seats.
Yeah.
It was good for spare parts, though, because we'd always just go get a part from that other truck,
sure,
right? Because
sure.
it was sitting not doing anything. So as far as minimum requirements to become a driver with rail, can you talk a little bit about your must-haves?
Yeah, sure. Actually, I would normally say age 21
mm-hmm.
Or older. We will train people to get their CDL. We have
okay.
On-the-job paid training program to
mm-hmm.
do that.
Okay.
If you're interested in getting in trucking but don't have the money to pay tuition to go to a truck driving school somewhere, we also take recent driving school graduates, give them the finished training they need to be successful. We teach them to drive the railway, which is protective driving. And then, obviously, we hire experienced drivers
okay.
to come on board, dry van, flatbed, refrigerated. We also have some specialized stuff. We have belly dumps. We have end dumps. We have dump trucks. We have crane
oh,
trucks that
yeah.
deliver building trusses and wall panels to construction sites. So a wide variety of things that drivers can do here. We are also participating in the under 21 driver training program,
okay.
the Safe Driver Apprenticeship Program, and we've now trained 4 under 21 drivers. They've successfully gotten their CDL.
Fantastic.
Two have chosen to stay intrastate in Wisconsin.
Okay.
But two are out over the road. They've passed through. They did their 400 hours of training with a mentor, and now they are on the road operating general freight.
So are they under 21 driving interstate then?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Wow,
yeah.
That's groundbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I guess that would have been the goal of that program, though. To
yeah, they wanted 3,000, and they're not even close to that number. They're not even close to 100.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we decided that we would see what would come out of it. We've actually had five drivers in the program. Four have been successful, one not successful. And it's only not because of his driving skills. It's because of some extracurricular activities while he was on home time.
Ah.
So that knocked him out. Yeah,
yeah, so we won't talk about that.
No, we won't. We won't. So.
Well, it's great talking with you.
Great talking
and
to you.
We're going to enjoy tonight. There's the reception going on, and then tomorrow back to it. Are you guys going to be flying out tomorrow?
I have a flight tomorrow afternoon, and I just hope I get where I need to go on time this time.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Coming in was terrible.
I would really be scared to get on a plane right now with everything that's been going on.
Yeah. Well, remember the wheels down.
Just ask Canada, right?
There you go.
So it's great to talk with you. Matt's, are you going to be at the Mid-America Truck Show?
I am not.
Oh,
this year,
come on.
I'm missing Matt's.
That's the only reason I go, is to see Timmy T.
Well, we'll see. Maybe I can make a swing in for
the
day.
All right. Bring the cheese curds.
There you go.
All right. That's Tim Norland. He's the Vice President of Driver Employment with Rail Transport. Find out more at rail.jobs. That's R-O-E-H-L.jobs or R-A-I-L.jobs. They make it that easy. We're coming to you from the 2025 Recruitment and Retention Event at the Grand Hyatt in Nashville. I'm KC. We'll be back on Road Dogg Live.